You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Yankees Magazine Podcast. I'm John Schwartz. I'm the deputy editor of Yankees Magazine. I have no voice right now, but I'm going to do my best. Joining me right now, we have our executive editor, Nathan Makaborski.
Hello, everybody.
What's going on, Nate?
Not too much, John. Hopefully your voice holds out here for this episode.
Unlikely, but we'll see. Nate, you have a certain little sparkle coming off you after your Seton Hall Pirates took down my Michigan Wolverines a couple nights ago. So congratulations. Let me say that to our thousands of listeners. Congratulations to you. I wish you the best moving forward.
Thank you. It was a nice early season win, but as we all know, college basketball season is a long one, so we'll see where our teams are come March.
I'm not giving up yet. So this is our last episode before Thanksgiving, so it seems like a good time to talk about some of the things we are thankful for, and there's a lot, I have to say. However people feel about the 2021 season, I know it didn't end the way people wanted it to, but I think that we can go through a pretty good list of the things that we were thankful for this year. We're also, before we do that, Nate, we're going to talk about the story that you had, a Q&A with Jameson Taillon. But before we even get to that, I just want to talk about two things real quick. First off, we have a new Yankees Magazine Facebook page, which is one of the best ways you can keep up with everything we're doing. We're going to be posting current stories. We're going to be posting stories from the vault, but we're also running a special promotion right now where if you just go and like the Yankees Magazine Facebook page, you are entered into a drawing to win one of 10 free subscriptions to Yankees Magazine. So literally, it takes you about, 9 to 10 seconds to go to Facebook, like the Yankees Magazine page, and you are automatically entered to win a free subscription. The second thing I will say is that obviously we have Black Friday coming up, and that is traditionally the day that we launch our big holiday promotions. This year, as we have in recent years, we are offering incredible deals, including free tickets to Yankee Stadium for the price of a regular subscription. Honestly, if you have any interest in going to a Yankees game in the coming year, this is the time to do it because you get a free subscription to Yankees Magazine with it. So why not? So by all means, check out yankees.com/publications. Those go live on Black Friday, November 26th. But before we get there, Nate, it's that weird time of the year right now. Actually, I think I would say the Hot Stove League is moving a little faster than I expected it to.
Yeah, I was kind of curious how it was going to shake out. You know, we had a press conference yesterday to announce our new third base coach, so that's one move, but I expect to see some additional moves here in the coming days, so I'll be interested to see how that all shakes out.
It's pretty fun. I was expecting a very down period, a very quiet period where we all focused on college basketball, Michigan Seton Hall notwithstanding, certainly the NFL, college football, all these things, but instead the stove, I wouldn't say it's boiling, but I would say it's a
It's
warm.
Percolating. Yeah, it's certainly simmering. So, and the Yankees are always in the mix. So, we wait with bated breath to see what happens.
Exactly. Obviously, it's a strange time of year now because we look, out the windows at the stadium and the concourses or on the TVs that sometimes show the field, and it's a soccer field, and pretty soon it's going to be a football field.
Yeah.
And it's always a little strange this time of year because we know what we're doing at Yankee Stadium, but there's this little period when it's not really Yankee Stadium. It's Yankee Stadium, but it's not about the Yankees.
Yeah, it's that baseball diamond goes away right after the end of the season, and then we don't see it again for a couple of months. But that's a good thing. We've got kind of football on the brain here. We're hard at work on the program for the New Era Pinstripe Bowl that'll be here at the end of December. Which is great. I mean, it's something I really enjoy working on and always look forward to that game. So I'm glad we do it. And if anybody has never been to Yankee Stadium for a football game, I'd recommend checking it out. It's actually a really fun time and a pretty unique experience.
For sure. I'm obviously a big college football fan. And It's always one of those very, very fun events on the calendar because it just, you know, hits that weird time when you're looking for anything, and it's great. And doing the program, like you said, is great. And that will be available on yankees.com/publications as well when it goes on sale. Clearly, we still have the Arizona Fall League going on. Austin Wells, Elijah Dunham doing great. The Yankees have some solid pitchers going well there too. That was, I'm still, you know, kind of coming off the glow a little bit of that that trip out there because it's just so special seeing baseball in warm weather this time of year, and it just gets you anxious a little bit. I mean, I know it's still far off, but you know, sooner or later, pitchers and catchers will be in Tampa, and I mean, it's sooner than it feels.
Yeah, that's always a wonderful feeling, is, you know, heading down to Tampa for spring training and stepping off and being blasted by that warm air, and then hearing the pop of the mitts and the crack of the bats. So I'm a little jealous you got to experience that here recently out in Arizona. But looking forward to reading the stories that you came back with. You know, we've had a couple conversations. It sounds like it was a dynamite trip.
Sure was. But speaking of pitchers and catchers, how about that for a segue? Nate, in our October issue, you did a just outstanding Q&A with Jameson Taillon. And obviously, Jameson is now coming off ankle surgery. So Aaron Boone, during the presser announcing the Luis Rojas hiring, he pointed out that Taillon's doing well, but probably won't be ready at the exact beginning of spring training. Is looking more like being on a major league mound in mid-April as opposed to opening day. But obviously, if there's one thing you can say about Jameson Taillon, and Nate, you've spoken to him more than anyone here, it's that guy knows how to work his way around a hardship and overcoming some obstacles.
He sure does. I mean, he's a tough guy. You know, when he first arrived, I did a feature on him back for our May issue. One of the guys I spoke to for that story was former Yankees catcher Francisco Cervelli, who caught the bulk of Jameson's innings in Pittsburgh. And Francisco just spoke glowingly about him, not just on the field, but off the field as well. Jameson is a guy who's got a really big heart. He's a really good friend to a lot of people. And he's really tough. I mean, he's pitched through some really like tough injuries, and he's come out the other side and found success. And not too many guys have been able to have a second Tommy John surgery and find their way back to a major league mound and prove that they still got it. And that's exactly what Jameson did this year. It was a good story back in April, you know, him getting back on the mound for the first time in 2 years. And then as the season went along and, you know, he had his ups and downs, but I just thought it was a really compelling story. It was really neat to watch him work his way back from that second Tommy John. And really, I mean, in the second half, he became a dominant force in the Yankees rotation. He hit sort of his low point in June. And I, you know, from there, really turned his season around. So we touched on a whole bunch of different topics for this Q&A in the October issue, that being one of them. You know, I was curious to know what happened there. But he's just a really fun guy to talk to. I mean, he's a really thoughtful guy. You can ask him anything. And, you know, he's certainly not the only pitcher on this staff I would say this about. But, like, you can ask these guys anything, and they'll answer you. Like, it's really kind of refreshing how forthcoming they are. Like, I feel like they're just so good at what they do that they're not too wary about discussing it publicly. And for us, that's awesome.
It was interesting to me the way you approach this, because personally, I always get nervous if I'm going back to a subject that I've been on before. And obviously, like you said, you wrote about Taillon at the beginning of the season when the story was simply the act of getting back onto the mound. I liked the idea that we did it again, but in Q&A form instead of trying to, you know, write through again. But what were you trying to get from him different in the second go around from what you were talking to him about that first time?
Yeah, I think it was just a whole different perspective. The first time around, there wasn't a whole lot to say. I mean, I literally wrote about his first game back. So, I mean, there was, you know, one game that we could dissect. But talking to him in, you know, I guess it was mid-September, he had a whole body of work. You know, he probably had 25 starts under his belt that we could talk about. And obviously, the Yankees' 2021 season was such a roller coaster. There was so much there to discuss as well. So it was really fun to just go through the ups and the downs and everything about being a Yankee and pitching in New York, you know. And what I was, I think, probably most excited to talk to him about was, you know, like I said, he's obviously a very thoughtful guy. He's a very, you know, cerebral guy. You see him in the dugout on the days when he's not pitching, sitting there, you know, he looks like he's in deep conversation with his fellow pitchers. So, you know, I kind of wanted to just see if he would reveal some of those conversations and stuff like that. And he did. We got into, you know, some of the psychological aspects of pitching. And I just find that stuff fascinating when a guy is able to kind of relay what's going on in his mind when he's out on the mound or when he's watching one of his brethren out there.
But you're not alone. I mean, he makes very clear in the Q&A that he could do that stuff for hours too. That's his favorite part. I loved when he said that he can't even watch another baseball game without getting involved in the chess match, in a sense. You know, he even when he's watching two random teams play that he's not a part of, he's sitting there pitcher to catcher kind of playing along.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, that's really, you know, I think for a lot of diehard baseball fans, that kind of one-on-one battle, or I guess it's a two-on-one battle, you know, it's the battery against the batter. And when you're able to really kind of understand what's going on in those moments with each pitch and the way at-bats play out and why pitchers throw certain pitches when they do, it's just really fascinating. It's a game within a game that's like a chess match. And, you know, he's really in tune with all that. You know, one of the things that stuck out for me from when Gerrit Cole first arrived here was he called the batter's weak spot like a bruise. And he's like, you know what that bruise is. And, you know, when are you going to poke the bruise? That's, you know, in the back of his mind, you know, are you going to go right after it early in the count? Are you going to kind of wait to pick your spot when the best, you know, time in the at bat is to poke the bruise, quote unquote. And Jameson had similar things to say, you know, when we got into the nuts and bolts of what's happening out there in those battles. So I thought that was really interesting.
And obviously, I mean, you mentioned Cole, Jameson, Tyone, and Gerrit Cole go way back to their time with the Pirates. They came up kind of together, at least up the system together. They didn't necessarily debut in the majors together. But I do think that that's such an interesting dynamic that the two of them have, because they do share that sensibility about the game, in a sense. And obviously, you know, through circumstance, through luck, through will, whatever you want to say, Cole's career kind of moved on a different trajectory from their time in Pittsburgh than Tyone's did. But I do always love watching them talk. And I just wish that I could be able to hear the way they talk about the game, because they are two of the more intelligent, more interesting, more open, as you've mentioned, players in the game. And God, I've been trying this all year since the Tyone trade happened, just to get the two of them into a room together and just talk baseball with the two of them together.
I know, like,
and have wine, by the way.
Yeah. I feel like if the Yes Network ever wanted to mic those two guys up, even on a day when neither of them are pitching, like just while they're sitting in the dugout, it would make for some pretty fascinating content. But yeah, I mean, those guys both, obviously, you know, they got a shared history coming up through the Pirates organization. And, you know, I'll say, kind of giving a preview to my next story, just this week, I had a lengthy conversation on the phone with Clay Holmes, who had such a great run here in the second half of the season with the Yankees, another former Pirate. And he was, you know, he came up at the same time as those guys too, and was a starter back in the minors. So between Holmes and Tyone and Gerrit Cole, and you know, they had Tyler Glass now back then. I mean, the Pirates really had, you know, the core of a dynamite starting rotation. But, you know, baseball's a funny game, and sometimes it doesn't always work out the way you expect. But we're certainly lucky to have all three of those guys here now, and I know I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do next season.
It's a great Q&A. It's called Bronx Revival. It is in the October issue of Yankees Magazine. It is going online, I believe, as we speak. So you can check it out at yankees.com/magazine. Obviously, you know, you hope that this recovery is, I hate to, like, as successful as his other recoveries. You know, I mean, you don't wish this up on anybody, but you do know that he, like I said, has figured kind of out how to work through stuff. But obviously, we're all looking forward to seeing him whenever spring training starts for him. And certainly we know that he is going to be a big part of any potential Yankees success in 2022. So, Nate, I think we all got so much out of the stuff you did on Jameson all throughout the year, and it seems like you enjoyed the process as well.
I'm very optimistic, too, that he'll recover fully from this sort of freak ankle injury and be ready to, you know, be a big part of the rotation again in 2022. And, yeah, happy birthday to our guy Jameson. He's turning 30 on Thursday this week, so that's why we wanted to get this story out there.
So if you will stick with us, we are going to come back and talk about the things that we are thankful for, whether about 2021, 2022, or just, you know, the world. So stick with us.
Hi, this is Aaron Boone. You're listening to the Yankees Magazine Podcast.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Clark Schmidt. You're listening to the Yankees Magazine Podcast.
Welcome back to the Yankees Magazine Podcast. I still have no voice. It's certainly not getting better from this, but I appreciate you rolling with me here. Nate, it is just about Thanksgiving. It is obviously the best day on the calendar. There's nothing better than Thanksgiving. But as we do most years, I think it's a good time for us to, you know, take some measure of where things are right now and talk about the things that we are thankful for as it relates to the New York Yankees. Or, you know, you can be a little more general if you'd like, but I figure, as with everything, we should do this in draft form. Nate, I will let you select first, and we will eventually decide who did better at being thankful. So what are you most thankful for, Nate?
There's a lot to be thankful for. Being employed by the Yankees has been a pretty special thing for 14 years now. I'm thankful that they see the value in Yankees Magazine that so many of our readers see as well. So, thankful that we've had the opportunity to keep on producing this magazine that we care so much about and love producing.
That's a solid first round pick. So if you're going to pander to your bosses with your first round pick, I'm going to one up you, and I'm going to pander to the fans. I think we all always knew how important fans were, are. I think we recognized that the sport doesn't really exist without the fans. But from opening day on this year, it just became so clear how much they mean, not just to the health and the livelihood of the sport, but to the enjoyment of the sport. And having fans back in the stadium this year, being able to write for fans and all these things, it's just such a game changer. And I know that's obvious, and I know that that's basic, but hearing real crowds, a real din of live humanity, I don't think I realized how important that was, but I will never forget it now.
It's everything. And try as hard as they did in 2020, you know, the scoreboard crew out there, you can't replicate a real live Bronx crowd. You know, there are certain chants that you're just not going to be able to to formulate on your own. I made sure, as I do every year, I made sure to go to at least one game as a fan. I went to a couple this year, and I think I obviously, you know, appreciated it more so than I had in a long time. It just felt so good to be back with a crowd and seeing my kids cheer and you know, diving after foul balls and all the things that go along with the live baseball experience. Was just so great to have it back this year.
For sure. So, okay, so we have our bosses, I guess, and then we have the fans. Nate, what's your second round pick?
Can I just say I'm thankful for the franchise? I mean, look, we all have our allegiances, and, you know, I happen to be born into a Yankees family. So this team has been part of my sports fandom since I was born, essentially. And, you know, some of my other teams have not had quite the same
J-E-T-S,
not quite the same history of success, or shall we say, you know, dedication to excellence. So, when I think back to the teams that I've watched with my own two eyes and the teams that came before them generations ago that helped lay the groundwork, I mean, I'm just thankful to be a Yankees fan.
All right, fair enough. My second round pick is Giancarlo Stanton. there is nothing, as far as I'm concerned, like watching Giancarlo Stanton. And that's kind of an amazing comment, because Giancarlo Stanton plays on a team with Aaron Judge, who in almost all circumstances would be the most remarkable batter you could watch. And I'm not talking about their comparative numbers. I think that, you know, on a macro scale, I would say Judge had a better season than Stanton this year. But there is just nothing I've ever seen like watching Giancarlo Stanton. It sounds different. It feels different. It obviously looks different. Again, I mean, we've written about this. We've talked about this. But, you know, there was that time when Aroldis Chapman just broke all pitching metrics. And it just became, like, silly. Because if you looked at, you know, the top of everything, it was like you had to put on the Aroldis Chapman filter in order to really understand what anyone else was doing. Giancarlo Stanton hits the ball so much harder than anybody else ever. And we get to watch it all the time. And, I don't want to say it was a redemption arc. I don't want to get too cheesy when I say this stuff. But he just became such a force this year. He became recognized as the force he's always been this year. But every single time he came to the plate, I think we say a lot like it's must watch and, you know, you don't step away. If you stepped away during a Giancarlo Stanton at bat this year, you were truly out of your mind, or there was someone in your house on fire. Like those would be the only two reasons.
Yeah, I mean, Luis Rojas better show up to spring training in pretty good shape, because you got to be pretty spry over there at third base when Giancarlo Stanton's in the batter's box. You know, he's going to have to, I guess they'll have to come up with a new kind of motion too when Giancarlo's trotting around third after those home runs. You know, I don't know if they're still going to do the fake football handoff, but it does. I mean, it looks different. You know, it's obviously the first thing that comes to mind from this year is just the absolute bonkers performance that Giancarlo put on up at Fenway in that late September series when he was just scorching hot, you know, blasting balls out of the stadium. It's amazing, and it is. It's really must-see TV anytime he's up there. So, you know, we'd been saying it for the prior couple of years, like, boy, what's it going to look like when we get a healthy season, full season out of Giancarlo and Aaron at the same time? We got it this year, and boy, was it fun.
Nate, round three.
Round three. I mean, you know, like you said, Thanksgiving is, you know, the holiday of holidays. It's a time to get together with family and sit around and watch football and eat good food. It's certainly one of my favorites. So I'll just say thankful for my family and the opportunity to spend another Thanksgiving with them and hopefully watch some good football.
All right. So I think I'll give you points for that one because what am I going to say now? I'm not thankful for my family. I am. But I'm going to go in a slightly different direction here, and I'm going to say the newest member of the Yankees 40-man roster, Donnie Sands. Mm. Donnie Sands is a person who, honestly, I imagine very few Yankees fans know about. He is a catching prospect who, honestly, until this past year, his bat hadn't really shown up yet. He's been learning catcher on the fly, so I don't think that he was really on most people's radar yet. And Donnie Sands is not in the major leagues. Who knows if he's going to make it, but he was just added to the 40-man roster, which is an incredible thing. But what's more incredible is if you go back to his backstory, which I had the great good fortune of getting to write about years ago when I got very lucky to kind of fall into a story. This is a kid who was in high school living out of his car because his mother was in Mexico trying to just make any kind of money for them because his father had just passed away. He and his mother would, you know, in their driveway, she would toss pinto beans to him that he would have to hit with a bat. And he would have to not miss for 5 minutes. And it wasn't because anyone had taught them this was a good way to learn hitting. It was because that was what they could afford to use as equipment. And, I mean, there's so much more to the story. I wrote about it a few years ago when he was at then Yankees affiliate in Charleston. But we're very fortunate that we get to spend a lot of time with some of the greatest baseball players in the game today, some of the greatest baseball players in history. But one thing that we also get to do is spend some time around the minors. And everything, and look, I mean, I just did this at the Arizona Fall League. Who knows if Austin Wells is ever going to make it, but I'm certainly going to write about him as though he is. But you don't know. And again, I can't repeat this enough. Donnie Sands has not made it to the majors yet. He has no baseball reference, major league page, or anything like that. But every so often, you just stumble on the stories that truly, truly, truly matter in a sense. And whatever happens with Donnie Sands, I don't know that all fans understand enough about the, you know, semantics of the baseball finance or whatever to recognize what it means to be added to the 40-man roster. But it is such an accomplishment and it is such a life-changing thing for him. And I just, like I said, it's such a random and bonkers story how I ended up writing about him. I got lucky. The person I was supposed to be writing about got hurt the day before I got there, and this story fell into my lap thanks to both a bit of information from you, Nate, and from then Yes Network, now WFAN, Lou DiPietro. But these are the stories that whenever I leave here, wherever I go, whenever, you know, whatever happens, I will always, whether anyone ever hears about Donnie Sands again for the rest of time, I will always think about Donnie Sands as probably among the most special things I've ever gotten to write about.
No doubt. I mean, that was an amazing story. And that's, you know, the most fun thing about writing for Yankees Magazine is uncovering stories like that and being afforded the time to spend with these guys and tell their stories and, you know, uncover things that maybe nobody else covered or from a different angle anyway. And there's so many of them, you know. I mean, you just look up and down this year's roster and you look at guys like Lucas Litke and Nestor Cortez and Jameson Taillon, like we mentioned. I mean, on and on. Everybody has a story, and so many of them are just compelling as all heck. So that was a great one. That one's always stuck out in my mind as one of the better stories we've had in the magazine. And I'm sure we'll uncover some more in 2022.
And you know, it's a funny thing because look, I have lovely Jewish parents, and so every time I write a story, you know, they love asking, "Oh, that was a nice story about Aaron Judge. What did he think about it?" And I need to explain to them, like, I can promise you Aaron Judge did not read the story that I just wrote about him. I can promise you if he did, he does not care about it. Like, I mean, there's something very interesting when you're working for a Major League Baseball team or professional organization like this and the Yankees. Like, and this is going to sound self-serving, and I don't mean this way. I actually mean it very sincerely. It's not that often in this business that you get to write a story that you know is meaningful to the person you're writing about. And it felt, I know that story was meaningful to Donnie. And I can't truly think of any other story that I'm certain I could say that about in my entire professional career. And again, that's not necessarily why we do this. That's not what it's for, but that is a special feeling.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are true professionals. And you see it from top to bottom in this organization, whether you're talking to, you know, a Garrett Cole or an Aaron Judge, the, you know, biggest stars in the sport, or, you know, a guy down in single A who's just, you know, trying to make his way up the ladder. Everybody knows how to handle themselves and how to speak to the media. And it's really a privilege, you know, for us. It's an honor to be able to meet these guys and be that conduit to the fans for them.
All right. Nate, last round. You got anything else for us?
Not really. I mean... I'm just, you know, I'm thankful for baseball in general. I'm just, you know, I'm looking forward to next season. I hope that this off season, you know, things go smoothly and we come into spring training as we always do with high hopes and a roster that we're all excited about. I know we will be, but I'm just, you know, really thankful for the prospect of another year of Yankees baseball and another year of telling stories in Yankees magazine.
Ditto. I mean, I couldn't say that better. And I think a crucial thing that I would add there is I'm just thankful for science and vaccines and people making the right decisions in their lives that are helping us move forward in this. You know, we saw starting out this season with a couple fans getting kind of midway through there by the middle of the year. And then by the end of the year, having full houses and obviously, you know, culminating with a game that wasn't great for the Yankees, but in, you know, a crazy dramatic packed house at Fenway for a one game playoff. And look, I'm sitting here right now with no voice because I just spent, you know, the weekend in Minneapolis at concerts. And I don't want to give the impression that we're fully back yet. I don't want to give the impression that this isn't happening or that everyone should, you know, let their guard down. But, you know, every step we take, every time we get a little bit closer to doing things we have to do and the ways we can eradicate this, it's just going to make everything better. And I mean, we're so lucky in so many ways that we got to watch a full season this year, that we didn't have, you know, the shutdowns or anything like that we feared coming into the season. You know, it was much smoother than we could have dreamed about. And, you know, all I can say is I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for every possible advance in the world, in science, in humanity, whatever you want to say, that's going to make 2022 even better. I know that Yankees fans are anxious. And I know that Yankees fans want different outcomes. But I think as we just made clear, and I think that as we hear from our readers, as we hear from our fans, as we see them at the stadium, we just do have a lot to be thankful for. And there's no better holiday than Thanksgiving, and there's no better time to recognize all that we are thankful for than this time of year. So, Nate, I'm certainly thankful for you. I'm thankful for all you do. I'm thankful for all you let me do. And to our listeners, I'm thankful to all you too.
Couldn't have said it better myself, John. It's a good time to take stock of where we are, and plenty to be thankful for, no doubt.
For sure. And I said this about 3 seconds ago. I'm going to repeat it. Thank you to all of you who listened to us. Thank you to those of you who have listened this year. We will be back with another episode shortly. But in the meantime, like I said, go to our Facebook page. All you have to do is click that like button and you are entered into a drawing to win a free year subscription to Yankees Magazine. No reason not to do it. It's also make sure that after Thanksgiving, the next day, Black Friday, you go check out yankees.com/publications when we launch our holiday offers, which will include free tickets. No better deal. Certainly check us out on yankees.com/magazine where you can read all of our long form content, including Nate's wonderful Q&A with Jameson Taillon, and follow us on Twitter at Yanks Magazine. It's the best place to stay up to date on everything we have coming up, everything we're offering, what the future holds. Lastly, make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, grab your friend's phone, subscribe for them. Just go, you know, whatever you have to do. Make sure everyone you know listens to the Yankees Magazine podcast, because we're going to keep bringing you great content, and we look forward to speaking to you soon. Nate, happy Thanksgiving. Everyone else, thank you so much. We'll speak to you soon.
Hey, this is Giancarlo Stanton. If you like what you're hearing, why don't you rate and review us? And while you're at it, tell your friends to subscribe. Thanks so much, and go Yankees.